The Bible reading for today comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45, which, if you have one of the black Bibles from the back, can be found on page 1540. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many."
Well, thank you so much, Isaac, and thank you so much for coming today. Let me introduce myself if we've not met before. My name's Des Smith. I'm the senior pastor here at Trinity Church Lockleys. It's wonderful to be here as we think today about what it means to find joy in serving other people. So why don't we pray, and then we're going to get into God's Word together. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we serve a God who serves, a God who served us ultimately in the Lord Jesus by giving his life up for us. Father, we pray that you might help us to do what we were made to do in life, to become more like Jesus, and therefore not only to serve, but also to find great happiness in that outward-focused life. And Father, we pray that you'll do this for your glory and for our joy. Amen. Well, as I've said, we're currently doing a series on joy at the moment here at church and why it's so important in the Christian life. Now, why is joy so important? Well, the short answer is because we were made for it. God made us to be happy, and though the world is now fallen, so we can't possibly be happy all of the time, God still wants us to be happy and has given us things to be happy about. Now, ultimately, the thing that we're to be happy about, to find joy in, is glorifying God. That's actually the purpose of your life, to glorify God. And when you do, God says that it will give you joy. But God, in his abundance, has also given us lots of other things to find joy in the Christian life, over and above all the normal things that he gives everyone in this world. He says that we can find joy in sharing the good news of Jesus with other people. We can actually enjoy evangelizing. We can enjoy belonging to part of a church community like this. We can even enjoy changing, which so many of us find hard, changing to look more like Jesus. God says that even that can be something that can make us deep down happy. All of these are things that we can find joy in. Today we're looking at one more part of the Christian life we can find joy in. And that's serving others. Now, of course, in the Bible and in life, there are lots of ways that we can serve other people. Of course, we can serve our families in whichever ways that we serve them. We can serve our neighbors. We can mow their lawns, bring them a pot roast when they need a pot roast. Who doesn't need a pot roast? All of those kinds of things. But today, just for the sake of time, we're going to focus on one particular way that God tells us to serve and that we can find joy in, what I'm going to call gospel service. That is, service in particular that advances the gospel, the kind of service that we might do here at church. Now, the Bible has lots to say about that and how we can find joy in it, so let's dive right in. Our first point is simply that, well, let's get this out of the way. According to God, we have to serve. We have to do gospel service. Serving at church, in other ways that advance the gospel, is not optional for Christians. To put it bluntly, it's compulsory. So, for example, Galatians 5:13, serve one another. It's pretty clear. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So it's pretty clear, right? We've got to serve. Now, why have we got to serve? Well, I think for at least two reasons. The first is simply practical. If we don't serve, good things don't happen. So things just don't happen by themselves around church or for the gospel's spread. We've got to do them. So listen to James, Jesus' brother. He writes this in his letter. He says, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. And I think it's a bit the same with ministries. If we just think that they're a good idea, they won't happen. People actually need to do them. You know, it's not just enough to think that running Trinity Kids is something that someone should do. People actually need to do it. It's not just enough to like the idea of morning tea. Someone actually needs to bake the biscuits and so on and so forth. That's why God gives us to each other so we can serve each other, because the self-baking biscuit hasn't yet been invented. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, how do we become the people we were always meant to be? People who are maturing to be more like Jesus. Well, it's by helping each other through works of service. It's by serving. See, that's why we ask everyone here at church, if they can, to join one of our ministry teams, a kids ministry team or a youth team or a hospitality team or a setup team or one of the teams we've got. Because if we're just going to keep growing and reaching the western suburbs of Adelaide, we will just simply need all hands on deck. This is a slide. It's coming up here. This is the western suburbs of Adelaide. This blue area here is home to over 200,000 people, the vast majority of whom don't know Jesus or even know someone to introduce them to Jesus. And if you think of that a bit like a bay colored in blue, we here at church, we're like a lifeboat in the middle of that bay. Now, we're by no means the only lifeboat servicing this body of water, but we are a lifeboat. And it's our job to fish as many people out of the water as we can before it's too late. So if that's our job, if we are a lifeboat here in the western suburbs of Adelaide, we need everyone who can to pick up an oar. You know, we will need people to run kids' church and teach youth group and host a growth group and serve morning tea and do sound and read the Bible and set up chairs and all of those kinds of things. So if you are already serving on a team like that, can I say thank you so much? Your work actually makes a huge difference. God is using you to build his kingdom here in the West. But if you're not yet serving on a team, if you could serve on a team, we would love you to join one. There are so many ways that you can actually serve. I want you to just take a quick look at the there's on your seats. There is a list. It's almost a bit like a menu. Think that you've gone out to a restaurant. There's a menu here of all the different ways that we can serve at church. Why not take that menu home and think about maybe one of the areas here that if you're not yet on a team, you could actually join to help in the mission. Now, there's lots of things here. This is almost an exhaustive list of the teams that we've got going on here. But, of course, at any one given time, there are things that particularly need helping with. Let me tell you our top three that I'd really love you to think and pray about whether this could be an area you could serve in if you're not already serving. The first is our kids ministry, Trinity Kids. Kids, they're the little ones. They run around, they make a ton of noise, at least mine do. And the great news here is that there are an increasing number of them here. There are a great number of kids here. We love having families here with little kids and older kids. And that's fantastic. They're all out right now learning about Jesus, running around in the sunshine. It's great. But because it's growing, we need more Trinity Kids leaders. And so if you think that that's an area you could serve, we would love to hear. Now, let me be really clear. We don't just put on anyone on our kids ministry team. It's not just that I'm saying, oh, we really need the help, so if you've got a pulse, you know, we want you to lead kids ministry. No. We want you to love kids and to have gifts in leading kids. We here actually also have a policy that you need to have been a member of church here for 6 months at least before you serve in our kids ministry. Because our kids are so precious. We have a very rigorous safe ministry screening system here. Because we want to do absolutely everything we can to care for our children. Jesus has particularly harsh words for people who mistreat children. We never want that happening on our watch. Praise God, we haven't. We never want it to happen. Our kids have a great time here. But if you've been here for 6 months, you're still looking for a place and you think, actually, do you know what? Maybe I would like to teach kids. Come and let us know. We'd love to know that. The second area that we'd really love help in is mission. We've been talking about how one of the areas we're not doing so well in as a church is in reaching out to our friends and neighbors with the good news of Jesus. To fix that, or to start fixing that, we're forming a mission team, which we want to start next year, which will run an explore course, which will run different things to help the rest of us invite our friends to and to hear more about Jesus. Would you like to be involved in that? We'd love to hear about that. We always need more people for our bands and our music here. We love singing and making a joyful noise to the Lord. But we need, I think we need some drummers. Is that right? I think we need a drummer. Yeah, that's right. And I can't be relied on to do it because I have no sense of rhythm whatsoever. But maybe you do. Maybe that's something you could serve in. Have a look at the list. Have a think, particularly as the new year is starting. Where might you be able to serve? Now, of course, some of us can't serve. You know, our life circumstances are such that for whatever reason, we just don't have the ability to serve here at church. And do you know what I want to say? If that's you, that's okay. This is not a user pays system, you know, where you need to earn your keep here or you'll get thrown overboard from the lifeboat. No, not at all. You know, for the moment or for the rest of your life, if you can't serve for the rest of your life, that's okay. Let us serve you. But if you can serve, but you've not yet found your spot on the decks, we would love to help you a spot. We'd love to find you an oar that would suit you. And since some people can't serve, it's all the more important that all of us who can serve do. So we'd love to hear from you if that's you. That's the first reason we've got to serve. It's just a practical one. But things have got to happen. But the second, and I want to say the much more important reason that we've got to serve, is because Jesus has served us. We just heard that reading, didn't we, from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Let me summarize the story really briefly. Jesus is walking along, and his disciples come up to him. A couple of his disciples, James and John, they come up to him, and they say, Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you. Now, Jesus isn't a parent, but he's clearly watched parents in action, because everyone who's got kids knows that their kids do the same thing. Mummy, daddy, we just want you to do something for us, but we're not going to tell you what it is before you say yes. Now, any wise parent goes, I think I'm going to just stick a pin in that for the moment. Let me find out some more information. So Jesus says, so what is it that you want, James and John? Oh, it's no biggie. We just want the top jobs in the kingdom when it comes, please. Could we have the left and the right hand for you, Jesus? Jesus secretly says to himself, I'm glad I asked. He then says, do you know what? That's actually not up to me to decide. But more to the point, do you actually know what kind of kingdom I'm bringing in? Because if you did, I wonder if you'd be asking for those top jobs. Can you actually Can you drink the drink that I'm going to be given to drink? Are you going to be able to do the work that I've been given to work? Because I think you think this kingdom is going to be very different to how it is. You are modeling your idea of a kingdom on the Roman Empire. You're thinking you join my kingdom, you're going to get a purple robe and bunches of grapes. And it's going to be very different. And so he huddles them all together into a team huddle and he says this, verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants you to be first must be slave of all." No, I don't want you to be like the world around you, which loves to be boss. Rather, you need to become like the lowest of the low, like a slave. Now, why? Here's the money shot, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The reason the disciples are to serve is because their boss, Jesus, served, and they're to be like their boss. You see, Jesus, our King, he laid down his life for us. The Apostle Paul puts it like this. He says this in Philippians 2, "Being in very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." That is the most astonishing statement. Jesus, God the Son, incarnate. Not just the owner of heaven and earth, the maker of heaven and earth, who could have stayed there and done nothing wrong by doing so, gave all of that up, all of those riches, all of that glory, and he decided to become a part of his own creation. And not just a part of his own creation, when he looked at all of the people he could be, he didn't say, "Oh, I'll be a Caesar, thanks. Oh, I'll be a captain of industry." Now, he said, "I'll be a dirt poor baby, and I'll make myself completely vulnerable, and I'll work most of my life in obscurity, and then for the last 3 years, I'll teach a message that I know some people will find compelling, but other people will hate, and I'll die. And not a comfortable death, the most excruciating death possible, death on a cross, the most shameful death possible." He went from being the ultimate winner to willingly choosing to be the ultimate loser. Why? Well, you're sitting right here. Your why. I'm why. Jesus did that for us. He lowered himself lower than you have ever been so that you could have the relationship with God, your Father, that he has with his Father and that he wants you to have. And that means, because he did that, I want you to hear this. It is important for Christians to serve. We're going to get to that. We've already been there. But you do not need to serve to be saved. You don't have to do anything to be forgiven by God. He has already done everything that needs to be done for that to happen. All you have to do, given what God has done, is turn from your sins and turn to Jesus for mercy, and he will give it to you for free. Let me say this as clearly as I can. You do not need to serve in order to be saved. It's the opposite. You've got to let Jesus serve you. And if you've not done that yet, if you've not admitted that you have mucked up, but that God has done something amazing to pay for that, and give you forgiveness, I really want to encourage you to do that. We'd love to help you know. Jesus has served you. He has served us. But because of that, once you have been saved, once you've been hauled up out of the water into the lifeboat, you will want to serve as well, because one of the reasons that Jesus saved you was so that you can become more like him, and he's a servant. You see, what's the point of life once we've been saved? Well, it's to glorify God by becoming more like Jesus. We looked at this last week, Romans 8. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. It's to be conformed to be made to look more like Jesus. And so since Jesus serves, we have to serve too. It's just an intrinsic part of the Christian life. You know, we serve not just because of what it does for other people, but because of what it does in us. Makes us look more like Jesus, which we're made to be. You see, this is why as Christians we serve even when it's hard. You know, I think sometimes as Christians we can think that if God wants us to do something, he'll make it easy. You know, it'll just feel right. And so when it doesn't feel right, when I'm not vibing it, I quit. Oh, well, you know, I quit because if God really wanted me to do this, he'd kind of get me into this kind of flow moment and I'd be like a serving ninja and it would feel really good. And you know what? For 5 minutes there, it didn't feel very good. So, clearly not God's will for me. You only need to think about that for 5 seconds to realize that's crazy. Did Jesus go to the cross because he wanted to do it? No, he didn't go to the cross because he wanted to do it, because he liked it. He went there because we needed it. So that's why we serve too, because people need us and we want to be like Jesus. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that you need to serve all the time or without rest. You know, if God sees you with an ice cream in your hand, he's not going to slap it out. In fact, actually, resting well is actually essential for serving well. You know, I want you to imagine, you know, one of those big Canadian lumberjacks, you know, kind of big beard, like a barista, and he's out there, and he's out in the forests of British Columbia, and he's got his huge axe, because it's not 2025 in this illustration, he's got his big axe, and he's busy chopping down those massive pine trees, or those maple trees, because, you know, he wants syrup, and he's chopping them down. Is that lumberjack going to be able to chop down trees just endlessly? Is he just endlessly going to be able to hack away at those trees and whack them down? No, because at some point his axe is going to get blunt. At some point he needs to stop and take a breather and sharpen his axe so that he can get back to it. It's exactly the same in serving, I reckon. God doesn't want you to flog yourself for your own good. He also wants you to take rest so that you can sharpen your axe. Get back in the fight. You know, some of us here probably could serve more. Some of us here, actually, you need to serve less. And you know what? If that's you, that's actually okay. We normally try and keep a pretty close eye on how much people are serving here at church so they don't burn out. But if we've missed you, if we've slipped through our cracks, we're sorry. Please let us know. Because we do not want you burning out. And you know, you're actually just feeling convicted about all of this and you've realized you're not serving. You know, that's actually okay. Remember, you don't serve to be saved. Jesus actually came first and foremost to serve you and to give his life as a ransom for you. So it's not too late. Just come to him, ask for forgiveness. And ask him to help you see the world as he sees the world, as a place that needs help and a place that you can help. Why do we serve? Practically, just because things need doing. But fundamentally, because Jesus has served us and he's made us to look more like him. That's why we serve. And finally, we also serve just because it's fun. We serve because God tells us to, but also because it makes us happy. God is so good. When he gives us a duty, he also can make it a joy. Listen to how the Bible describes serving. Psalm 100, verses 1 to 2. This is from the English Standard Version. I think it puts it really well. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. Serving is meant to make you happy. Now, how does that work? Well, firstly, in my experience, I think it's often that the act of service itself is actually fun, like the actual process of serving. So I remember when I was younger, I had more hair, I used to do kids camps down in Tassie. I used to run kids camps, and they were fantastic camps. They were run by the Anglican Church there, and they were really fun. You'd get, like, you know, sort of, they were quite small, like kind of 30 kids, and we'd take them away to a campsite for like 5 days, and we'd just give them the best time, teach them about Jesus, all that kind of stuff. Now, was that a lot of hard work? Yes, it was a lot of hard work. Was it also the most tremendous fun? Yes. I look back on those camps with the greatest fondness. It was really fun mucking around with the kids, hanging out with the leaders afterwards, eating too much chocolate, staying up much too late playing board games when we were meant to get our sleep. But, you know, I was 19, so I could survive on 2 hours sleep a night and do that for a whole week and still be fine. Like, it was just fun. And I think that's actually the case with lots of ministries. Do you know one of the things I love about this church is I love that when I see people serving, people seem to enjoy it. I love coming in here at 9:30 and walking past the kitchen there and hearing the hospitality team setting up and laughing. I love the intent look on the logistic team's faces when they're setting up all of the chairs, and then the deep look of satisfaction when they're all set up and they are even. That gives the setup team great joy. I love seeing the kids leaders muck around with the kids. You know, I reckon, firstly, sometimes service just is its own reward. It's just fun, which actually shouldn't surprise us from a fun God. But more deeply, I reckon service also gives us joy, not just from the process, but from the result, actually what it achieves. See, the Apostle Paul, he worked hard, didn't he, to plant lots of churches. He worked hard to plant the Philippian church. He preached there in Acts 16. We're actually going to look at Philippians next year. But when he later writes to the Philippian church, what does he say is it about that experience of planting that church that gave him the most joy? Was it the process? Oh, I really loved preparing all of those sermons, and I loved giving them. You know, I love public speaking. He probably did. But what is it, the thing that he mentions? It's not the ministry he did itself. It's the result. Listen to Philippians 1, verses 3 to 5. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It's the result of his ministry, that gospel partnership, that gives him real pleasure. You see, when you do something that you know matters, that gives you joy, doesn't it? We're going to try and watch a video. We're going to see if the sound works. Here he is. It's a guy who found this to be true. We need to, whoa!
That much. I used to think of it like a pack and steal. Like, you get Jesus, and so you get the church and Christians thrown. It's just part of the package. And there are some bits you like Jesus, some bits you don't like so much. It's like the church and Christians. You used to find that a bit annoying. But I turned up the church and go through it. I never really enjoyed going to church. And then one day, I was at the back of our church in East London, and someone said to me, oh, we need help to run the coffee team. I was like working like 70, 80 hour week. I'm like, what? And they were like, yeah, Steve, we really need your help running the coffee team on a Sunday. And I was thinking, I'm a barrister, I'm not a barista. Like, I've got a job, I don't need another job to run a coffee team. I just, you know, sometimes you just can't even think of what to say. So I was like, okay, I'll do it, okay. And instantly, why did I do that? So I turn up next week, like, you know, trying to get the cups and everything, get the coffee right. As I handed these cups to people, something really changed in me. I found myself, as I handed coffee to these people, growing in love for them. I was like, these people are amazing. Like, this is this extraordinarily diverse community. It's been gathered from across the area, probably not another place that looks as diverse and integrated as this. This is a miracle. And then even people I found a little bit more frustrating and complicated, as I handed them their coffee, I kind of grew in love for them. And I kind of basically fell in love with the church. And then I kind of went back to the person who'd asked me to do it. I said, we need a new coffee machine. We need better beans. We need better mugs. Like, come on, these are amazing people. I want this to be the best coffee that they get. You know, they're coming to church on a Sunday morning. I got more and more passionate. I started to build a team to serve coffee on a Sunday morning. I sometimes say, making coffee changed my life because I fell in love with the Church of Jesus Christ. I didn't realize why it was special. I didn't realize why it mattered. And as I made coffee for people, I suddenly realized, oh, the church is like the bride of Jesus Christ. It's like the thing he gave himself for. Like the church is God's plan for the salvation of the world. There's no plan B. And God is going to build his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So like, God is putting all his eggs in the church basket. And I realized over those few weeks, there's a beautiful thing here. Yes, it messes up. Yes, it makes mistakes. You'll never find a perfect church, but it's a beautiful thing. And I thought, that's what I want to spend my life building.
Isn't that a great story? Of a guy who found joy in making coffee. Now, will serving always give you joy? Well, of course not. Sometimes it will be hard. Sometimes the process won't be fun. Like the kids' camp won't actually be what Des told you it would be. And sometimes you won't actually see immediate results. Can you still take joy in serving even then? Or is joy only for you if the ministry works? Do you know the Bible says you actually can take a kind of joy even when the ministry's not fun? See, lots of Paul's ministry wasn't fun and he didn't get good results. And yet he still found joy just in knowing that he was doing what he was meant to do. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. We're doing the right thing. In great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beating and yet not killed. Sounds miserable, right? Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Why? Because he knows that's what God has called him to do. He knows that's what a cross-shaped life looks like. That he serves even when it's hard. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sometimes that is the only joy we can get from serving, and yet we can always get it. And we can remember that it won't go forever. That actually one day, you, good and faithful servant, will be able to put down the oar and climb out of the boat and have joy and rest forever. Do you think that sounds self-interested? Don't try and be holier than Jesus. It's what kept Jesus going when it was hardest for him. Hebrews 12, verse 2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's what Jesus sets before us too as we serve him. What is Jesus' great reward for people who are doing the right thing, who are serving, even sacrificially? What does he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Yep, absolutely. Serving is a duty. Things need doing. We're made to do them. And it's also a joy. It's often fun. The results are rewarding. But most of all, win, lose, or draw, you can know that you're doing what you're made to do. And one day, you will live forever with the one who made you to do it. And that will be a great joy as we share our Master's happiness. Why don't we pray about that? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, first and foremost, for the way that you served us, that Christianity is not a religion of works. We don't need to earn ourselves into your good books. Rather, you sent your Son Jesus to serve us so that we can be right with you But that makes us want to serve others. We're grateful. Things need doing, but also we were made to do that. But even better than that, it is actually also a great joy to serve, to see the difference that service makes. We can fall in love with people through serving them. And Father, we pray that you might give us that joy as we keep serving the western suburbs of Adelaide. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I